You're watching Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. Today, we've been covering the cabotage issue back-to-back from 9 o'clock. And just before we started our show, consider this was talking to Rais Hussein of MDEC as well as my ex's Chiu. Well, we have in the studio Alexander Wong, the managing editor of Suya Chin Chow, whose article actually sparked off this debate and started somewhat of a wildfire. So, Alex, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, let's take things slow. Right, because when we look at the whole issue, this issue is not something that has happened over the past 2 or 3 days. This issue has been going on for years now. And if we can revert back to why the cabotage policy was introduced back in the 1980s, actually,
yep.
It was because they want to grow the nascent shipping industry of Malaysia. But somehow or other, April 2019, the Pakatan Harapan government sort of like decided this is not the way to go. We need to have, you know, a liberalized market. We need to ensure that we are playing the globalized kind of player here, and we want to get the cabotage policy to be suspended. And that was done by the Pakatan Harapan government, specifically Anthony Lok, the previous transport minister. And then, of course, November 2020 came about. Current transport minister Wee Ka Siong says, you know what, that's it, we're going to reverse the reversal. And the cabotage policy is back in action. And because of that, we've seen how my ex has been coming out and saying things like Malaysia losing out. And just before we started our show, he said the same thing again and how this impacts us as a consumer. You know, vibes with Emmanuel Samartirasa was talking about how there are sources that have been reported to say it's because of the suspension of the cabotage policy that they have reverted. So generally speaking, those are the kind of events that have unfolded. My question to you is, you've been reporting this for years now, so Suya Chin Chow has been covering this for years. Why was it like blown out of the water over the past 2 or 3 days?
There's something that I'm still figuring out right now, because we've been covering this since last year when the current transport minister actually revoked the exemption for the cabotage policy. So if we take the step back, if we go to April in 2019, almost 2 years ago, so what happened was that the transport minister, Anthony Lok, has announced that there's an exemption for the cabotage specifically for submarine, for vessels coming in to repair submarine cables in Malaysia.
For repairs?
For repairs, repairs only. So there are other cabotage, like for goods, for passengers, they still remain.
So and even cable laying is not part of this, right?
He only mentioned specifically for repairing.
Okay.
So that was the issue. And according to Anthony Lok, this was requested by our local players like Telekom Malaysia, Time.com, and it was also supported by Gurmit Singh. They actually announced this together in Parliament in April 2019.
All right. So Gurmit Singh was the communications minister when Pakatan Harapan was the government.
That's right.
Okay. And then because of the local players demanding this and the government responding to this, were there any reports on how the Malaysian Shipping Association, MASA, was reacting towards the suspension of the cabotage policy back in April 2019? Did they make any noise, basically?
I can't recall any reports on that. But what I do know is that the reason why they brought the exemption in the first place is because the tech giants have been complaining that it's taking too long to repair because of the current process, which requires a DSL. So basically, it's a license to allow them to come into Malaysian waters that can actually delay the repair process up to 27 days. It's just too long. And according to my IX, as they reported, that has reduced Malaysia's attractiveness to invite more submarine cable investments into the country. So we are far behind our peers in other players in Southeast Asia.
So Dr. Wee was talking about the local company. There's only one right now, and that vessel is DP1. And that vessel is carrying out the maintenance and repairs, and foreign players can still come in to sort this out. And he says that it only takes, 5 days on average, 3 days mostly. And he was talking about on one case, up to 7 days, but generally speaking, he's saying that there shouldn't be any delays the way we see it being said by Anthony Lok, up to 27 days. Do you agree with this kind of view?
I agree with what he said, because back then the 27 days was based on the old DSL process. And as mentioned by the current Transport Minister, Dr. Wee Ka Siong, he said that there's a new EDSL process, which actually reduces the time required to approve these permits. So he said in Parliament, this cuts down the time from 30 to like 10 to 5 days. And as he mentioned, that MASA is only given 48 hours to object for any applications. So the time has been reduced. So to his credit, yes, it's been reduced, but yet it's still a concern to the tech giants because it's still added unnecessary time to the repair times.
So our guest yesterday, Nabila Hussein, the tech fellow at Seri, was arguing that these cables essentially belong to the tech companies, and therefore they want to have full control over how they manage these kind of undersea cables, including maintenance and repairs. And it's unlikely for them to try to allow for other players to sort it out amongst themselves when they can have the capability and ability to fix it themselves. Because of this, there's a grievance that is kind of reaching a boiling point to a situation where the tech giants are now approaching the Ministry of Science and Technology and Innovation. They've reached out to the Ministry of Communications, as well as the Finance Minister. And they have even been reported, at least you guys have reported, that it has been, there's a memo that has been sent to the Prime Minister. Is it because they can't find a pathway to sort out this kind of resolution with the Ministry of Transport? Is that why they're reaching out to all these other people?
That looks like it, because I think what's missing here is there's no dialogue between, there's lacking of dialogue, at least from what I see, between the tech giants and the transport ministry. Because the tech giants have been voicing out their concerns that they're missing out in terms of the DP2 capabilities, because they require DP2 vessels, which has a high capability to maintain a specific position in the water. And that's critical for in terms of safety and insurance purposes. However, the transport minister has said that you don't need DP2, DP1 is more than enough. So there's these two clash of views on what is required. But like you said, right, the tech giants have their own concerns, and of course they want to have full control because tech giants are bound to their own SLAs. If something happens to the submarine cables, they need to be assured that they can fix it as quickly as possible, as effective as possible, based on the specs they require.
So this argument of DP1 is enough, but tech giants say DP2 is required, right? What was the basis of Wee-Kar Siong saying that DP1 is enough?
He was quoting,
or sufficient? And of course, we're talking about just one vessel, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so based on what he said to Into the Edge in the interview, he said that he talked to the shipping companies and some industry players in the shipping industry. They said that DP1 is more than enough. The only difference is just software difference. He said it doesn't make a difference. And he also said that the justification...
Overlapping, right?
Overlapping, yeah. And he also said that the reason why DP1 is sufficient because most of the waters in Malaysia is shallow. So that's one argument. However, the tech giants still insist on having DP2 because that's what they need to give the assurance that they can fix the submarine cables in a proper manner.
What about the two other arguments that he brought forth, which is avoiding South China Sea because American companies are wary of the Chinese surveillance? What do you think of that?
I think, yes, there's somewhat of a concern, but I think it shouldn't have a major impact in terms of submarine cable investments in Malaysia. I think that's still ongoing because if you can see right now, there are still plans to come to Singapore and Indonesia. They're quite close by. So I don't see that as like a major stumbling block for them to increase the submarine cable investments in Malaysia.
And then the second argument, which is, of course, there's no data center here, and then the Tanjung Kling data center in Singapore, and that's why they go there. What do you think of that?
I think the argument that there's no data center infrastructure in Malaysia, I don't think that's true, because Malaysia has a thriving data center industry. In fact, in the past 2 years, we've seen new data centers being developed, being introduced in Johor and in Cyberjaya as well. And the recent one is KVDC in Cyberjaya by TM. So the data center industry has been thriving in Malaysia. So it's not true that we don't have the data center infrastructure.
You were writing in an article, if I'm not mistaken, 2 days ago, asking the transport minister three questions. And of course, the first question is, have we addressed the tech giants' concerns? My question is, why must we address the tech giants' concerns? What's at stake here, basically?
Because of this situation, we are seen as not favorable to the tech giants. In fact, a couple of months ago, the Edge also reported that some of the tech giants have told Dr. Wee that because of this cabotage policy, they will review their investments here. So that's the issue. And of course, MyIX, they also issued a statement that the cabotage policy also creates an environment that we are not favorable to investors. So that's the core issue.
I'm sorry. I still want to focus on that one because, okay, so what kind of investments are these tech giants putting in? Is it fast internet? Is it greater connectivity? Are we a gateway to other markets, say, for instance, towards India and perhaps even Africa, who knows? Mm-hmm. What's at stake when it comes to addressing the tech giants' investments here?
One thing is that if they have more submarine cable landings here, we have a more robust digital infrastructure. So we have more capacity to carry more traffic, which is actually growing in Malaysia. And that will also link to other My Digital initiatives, like more data centers can be built because we have more submarine cable landings in Malaysia. Mm. And for users, that means that we have better internet services, a more robust internet experience because we have a better infrastructure. And with more data centers, that's definitely going to improve in terms of enterprises because you know most of the companies are moving to the cloud and that will actually affect everything.
You were publishing a report by MDEC and MDEC's white paper, which is talking about the situational analysis of the undersea cable in this region. One notable feature in that, I guess, disclosure that you guys made was that Singapore is the de facto place for cable laying in this part of the world. But more concerning is that Thailand is also looking at using their Songkhla pathway to, well, in a way, cut short the whole 1,200 kilometers worth of pathway, right? The undersea highway, so to speak, across the Straits of Malacca. And we are cut off, north and south, in terms of the cable laying process. Is this a serious concern for us to actually address? Is the cabotage policy hurting us in a way where we are losing out to both Thailand and Singapore?
Definitely, because like I said, because of this cabotage policy, right, this is going to be seen as a stumbling block for them to consider Malaysia as a landing site. And Malaysia has a lot of things to offer for these investors. Number one, we have the right people, we have a growing digital talents, our geographical location is actually quite strategic. So I don't see a reason why they shouldn't land in Malaysia compared to our neighbours.
Okay, and which is begging that question of why this government, the Perikatan government, through the Ministry of Transportation, under the penship of Dr. Wee Ka Siong, reverted the decision that was done in the previous government. What was their primary reason that the cabotage policy has to be reinstated?
From what he said in Parliament, the greatest focus was to protect our local shipping industry. And he also gave a couple of reasons, like number one is to build our local shipping capabilities, talents, and also to protect the security and sovereignty of our water. So those are the key issues. So it's mainly on the shipping industry. Mm. But as you mentioned, right, Malaysia only has DP1. It's only one ship at a time of revocation. And the thing is, if let's say we grow our local
local shipping industry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing is, if we grow our local shipping industry, if let's say the Transport Ministry set a target to, let's say, the Malaysian Shipping Association, they're saying that, okay, you know what, there's a demand for DP2 ships. I think that's something that we should grow so that, you know, because based on the targets of My Digital, we're going to have more submarine cables. If, let's say, there is an opportunity for Malaysia to grow, that should be done. But that can be done in parallel with having a cabotage exemption.
Do you think there's a way out from this particular, I guess, entanglement? How do you think the government is going to resolve this very quickly? And we all know that the tech giants are indeed talking to other parties outside of the Ministry of Transport. We haven't seen anything yet, no announcement just yet. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you've been covering this for years now, actually, and reading your article with delight because you give a lot of details in terms of who is at, who are the main players, what is at stake, and, of course, the history behind the whole process. How do you think this will pan out?
My true hope is that hopefully the Transport Minister will have a proper discussion with the Communication Ministry and perhaps with the Prime Minister to find like a middle ground on how we can solve this issue. Because the tech giants want to invest and also the Communication Ministry, especially Saifuddin Abdullah, because it is his KPI to ensure that Malaysia has the most submarine cable landings by 2025.
That's his own, my digital blueprint.
Yes, that is his responsibility. His KPI to deliver the most submarine cable landings in Southeast Asia by 2025, but he hasn't spoken much about it. So that is his KPI. So for him to achieve that, he needs to address these issues that's raised by the tech giants. So I hope that all these parties sit down together and find a middle path.
Do you think this will be done, in your opinion?
If Malaysia is serious about achieving the My Digital initiatives, its goals, it has to be settled sooner or later.
All right. We'll go for a short break before we conclude our conversation with Alexander Wong of Suya Chin Chow. We'll be right back after these messages.